Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Welcome to joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement: to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring Jews to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio, All Road 65 Max Radio, and follow me, journeyofthesapphire.com. My special guest today is Chef Frank Depletion, who has been a distinguished figure in the world of culinary and food and beverage operations for over 25 years. Throughout his illustrious career in the kitchens of several Michelin star rated restaurants in France and some of the most luxurious brands around the world, such as St. Regis Hotel and Resorts and Aberish Resort Collection, Chef Frank has amplified flexibility, adaptability, seamlessly aligning with organizational needs while spearheading teams to unprecedented success. At last, I want to say thank you for giving me this interview chance, Chef, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Pamela. That was quite a nice introduction. Thanks for the kind words.
You're so welcome. I am so intrigued by you, and I have a lot of questions. So
hopefully I have a lot of answers for you.
I'm quite sure you do. I'm quite sure you do. How is the weather out there?
You know, it's New England. It's mid-October, so we're starting to get into what I would refer as getting to depressive state of the year. You just enjoy spring and summer, and now it's getting all gloomy. Of course, the foliage season is beautiful, but when there's mixed with rain and combined with gloomy weather, it doesn't look as exciting.
Yeah, I bet. And it gets real cold out there, right?
It did. We already got our first minus last week. So it's coming way too quick. I'm not ready for it. And I'm definitely not ready for winter with all the snow that comes with it.
Ooh, how beautiful. You know, I've never been to the snow, but I got to come, and I got to come to England. I want to visit London. So I have my, what do you call that? The list. Bucket list.
The bucket list.
Yes, I have the bucket list. Okay. So I probably will run into you very soon.
Fair enough.
So with, yes, sir. So tell me about your unique journey as you started at the School of Hard Knocks, as you say.
Yes. what I would refer as the School of Hard Knocks is I'm one of the only few that hasn't gone to high school. I've never went to high school. So I was in middle school back in France, and there was a opportunity in France to either follow the general kind of educational journey, or you can go and go into specialty school, which is based on kind of whatever you, I would say, you would like to pour yourself into. So it can be a lot of specialized school, but I've decided to go on apprenticeship. So I decided to enter the kitchen. I was just fresh. I was not even 15 years old when I started to walk into my first kitchen. So I was 14 and a half, and then I started working. And the only condition of this apprenticeship is you're working in an environment. So you're an employee. You're already learning the work, the life of work, showing up in the morning and all the consequences that goes with it. But at the same time, you have to go to school 1 week a month. So you are 1 week a month, you go to school, you still go to classroom, you still have tests, you still have to do all this. And at the end of those 2 years, you do pass an exam. And obviously, if you pass, then you're certified. And then you can choose to stop there with a certification in the culinary arts. So you could choose to go to a higher degree, still in apprenticeship, which is what I did. I added 2 more years to get what we would call the equivalent of a bachelor degree in the culinary arts and hospitality business.
Wow. Very proud of you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank
I
you.
was reading your bio, and you have an obsession to keep moving forward against all odds and adversities. That was an eye-opener. And it has earned you the recognition as a true mastermind in that field. In
Indeed.
what way? Yeah, in
In
what
what
way?
way? I guess I am. It comes as a, I would say, an impactful power, but it also sometimes come as somewhat of a curse. It's just I don't get satisfied. I'm
Right.
just hungry all the time, and I'm hungry for the next thing. And while there's nothing wrong about that, it's just you've got to find the right balance between thriving for something and the ambitions that comes with it, but at the same time, the fact that once you reach it, take a minute to appreciate it. You can move on to something else, but take a minute to appreciate it. And for the longest time, I'm someone that you climb that mountain, you get to the top. I look around and I realize, oh, there's a bigger mountain. Let's try to do this one. And so that's just what has been, I would say, my MO for all those years. And I just worked on myself. I obviously was part of teams. Most of my career, I always had a team surrounding me, with me, or reporting to me. And the goal was really to keep moving forward. There's always something to get to. There's always something to look forward to, something to chase. And I'm someone that will do it with relentlessness.
Yes, I absolutely understand. Now tell me, you stated how do someone maintain balance, stay resilient, and obtain long-term fulfillment without losing sight of your personal well-being? Because that's very, very important.
It is extremely important. And I have to be honest, I probably failed the first 10 to 15 years of my career to find that right balance. I was just so obsessively looking into building a career, looking into building a resume that stand its ground, a resume that would open doors without me having to apply for jobs. So the goal was really to. I just poured myself into work. I've unfortunately, very early on, I've kind of, dismiss and ignore some of my friendships. I was not necessarily the best son for a mother and a father that w wish they had communication with their son. I traveled the world. So I've prioritized my career above everything. And when I say everything, is almost to the point of even my health. Not that I had any health issue, but obviously I faced burnout, I faced exhaustion, and I was always prioritizing my career over that. So to answer your question, the first probably 10, 15 years, there was no balance at all. It was just work, 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 work. And then as I got a little bit older, realized that you become a leader, and suddenly there is people working under you. They don't necessarily have the amount of stamina and endurance that you have. And then you realize that your best assets, they're not necessarily, they cannot keep up with the demand and cannot keep up with the pressure and the ambitious journey that I'm trying to get. And you're starting to look at yourself as like, am I just doing something abnormal? Am I like you? I was conditioned to just keep moving and moving and moving, getting in motion. And so I've learned to create that balance over the years. And I have to say that the best balance that I found is when I became a father and I had to really look at myself as a whole and realizing that my wife made me realize that actually that my legacy was not out there. It was actually at home. My wife is the one who made me realize that my legacy was not out there. It was at home with the children, and that just gave me a lot of perspective and realizing the lack of balance that I had. And I don't think there is a secret recipe for balance for anyone. I think everyone finds their own their own harmony and their own balance. And there's some days careers are going to require more of this balance, and some days family will be, and some days marriage will be, and some day it's me, myself, and I. So you just have to find this harmonious balance daily, and kind of prioritizing things to make sure that you reach that level of fulfillment, I guess.
I do agree. I'm going to stick there on the leadership because, Frank, tell me how you share your leadership philosophy through your consulting firm, Incrementum, right? You are a firm believer that adopting a professional growth mindset will transform an individual to reach career fulfillment. Tell
Absolutely.
me about that.
Yeah, of course. I'm going to take the topic in the field of hospitality, because I while the philosophy is not new, I'm not necessarily coming out of nowhere with the secret sauce to build anything different. It's been out there already, but I guess in the world of hospitality, I can speak of, because I have experience and I've paid my dues, let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
I like to think that w hospitality, it still have a lot of opportunity when it comes to attracting people to want to make it a career. It is a very demanding job. It is a very pressured industry. You kind of work when people are having fun. You work on the holidays. Like, you have to sacrifice in order to do a life in hospitality. And so we're living, even now, 2025, almost 2026, we're still living in a period where it's hard for a student of hospitality that just went to class and just been 2 years getting their diploma. And then they arrive and they're just like, oh my goodness, I was nowhere to be ready for this. And so my philosophy to approach that is ready to embrace the fact that there is different generation with their way of living their life. I'm a millennial, so the way I conducted life is very different than a boomer. They're very different than a Gen X and then the Gen Z. And then now your oldest Gen Alpha is 14 years old. So in about 3, 4 years, we're going to start seeing them in our world with whatever they have to bring on in the workplace. And so my philosophy is really a way, an approach to a set of belief that you realize that you don't necessarily need to seek out a mentor in order to move and thrive through life. You can definitely work a lot on yourself, but I am hopeful that my philosophy and my approach to thing just to kind of guide you to adopt a growth mindset over a fixed mindset. And in order to do that, you've kind of have to go through to discomfort. You have to learn to be comfortable in discomfort. You have to learn to be able to navigate adversities, setback, one of the big one, failures. How do you reconcile with a failure and still moving forward? We're living in a world now of utmost impatience. We're just very, very impatient, but we have created that. My generation, we have demanded to have an Amazon Prime. We demanded to have Netflix to binge watch series in one shot. We've demanded, we created all this. And yet, when the new generation after us decided to utilize what was created at our disposal, they got, I think, judged. They got criticized. Because they were adopting what we had created. And I believe that first we have to take accountability. They didn't ask for it. We created it the same way that we created a world of intelligence, or artificial intelligence, now that my kids will be growing up in that world. We created that. And so we already started criticizing that world. And it's not even there yet as much as we want it to be for the next 10, 20 years in the future. So to come back on track into your question, is the philosophy is really to teach, guide, mentor, coach someone to ask themselves the right question, and helping them navigating their own journey by adopting a growth mindset and understanding that everything is part of the process. failing at something, it's not something that should make you feel like I will never get back into failing. I will never take a risk again. It's so uncomfortable. The discomfort is part of the process. And so I'm trying to show the student of hospitality and the leaders of tomorrow how to navigate that life in the world of hospitality.
I do agree. I come from management and hospitality as well.
Okay.
And I have over close to 20 years. And I've worked at restaurants, hotels as well. So my expertise is training and development and customer service skills.
Here you go.
And I'm good at it. That's just that is my expertise and I love it and I'm very passionate about it. And what I see in today's world is, like you just stated, everything is in a rush. However, we can't never forget about how we can make a difference just by taking our time to give the service that is needed. That's what makes us great, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
I could not agree
I
more.
absolutely agree. And that is what and how I lead by example of inspiring the girls through my foundation because of self-worth and understanding that it doesn't matter about the challenges and obstacles that you have gone through. It's about moving forward through those challenges and obstacles and understanding that you can do and be anything that you want to be. And I thank you for sharing that.
Of course, of course. Yeah, it is. I'm so glad to hear you've been in hospitality. I feel we're speaking the same language,
Oh, yes.
and it's quite insightful and refreshing. But yes, there's the problems of today are not new. There's a lot of people say we short staff. And say, sure, I was short staffed 20 years ago. Nothing has changed. It's just we adapted. I like to say though, I wish. I really wish that during the pandemic, while the whole world of hospitality was on standby, that more organization would have look inward in order to reopen with better workplace culture. And I wish they had done that. And unfortunately, they went back right at it.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because I think a lot of people that was during the pandemic laid off. And they got a taste of life outside of hospitality. They actually never came back. I've got a lot of my friends that never came back to hospitality because they got a taste of freedom. And so I really wish that the hospitality industry revolutionize or reinvent themselves in order to cater to a new demographic of people that would want to become part of hospitality because hospitality is attractive.
It is.
So it is what it is at the end of the day. I'm just a one man show. I cannot change the whole world of hospitality, but I guess I'm trying to do my part at least.
That's right. One day at a time, one person at a time.
Exactly.
And we accomplish that. Absolutely. You stated that hospitality industry needs a mindset overhaul and the critical need for cultivating a culture of resilience, adaptability, and personal growth is within. Elaborate about that.
I believe that a lot of your growth start with letting your curiosity lead the way. I think once you are curious about something and you let yourself in and are learning, you usually have a I would say you have an ease to get educated from whatever you're curious about. It's much easier to be open-minded with what you're curious about. Once you find what you look for and you gain that knowledge, suddenly you realize that, wow, that's just something I'd like to put some time into it, some efforts into it, some work into it. I would like to get into whatever this hobby that seems to be a hobby right now is. And then you start kind of defining what would be a vision. The vision is kind of a blueprint, or at least a daydreaming. Where do I see myself in 2 years doing this? And then you're starting from there. And once you did that, you start the journey. You kind of letting curiosity moving on and realize that there's skills to learn, and then you learn those skills. And then after, when you learn those skills, you apply with those skills and you're putting them into effect. And then once you're getting into a level of proficiency and efficacy with those skills, you realize that somebody might give you an opportunity to move up. And then you're starting getting the accolades. You're starting getting the promotions. You're starting to get access to places that you never thought you would have access to. And you're starting to be, instead of applying for a job on LinkedIn or Indeed, you're starting to be, your name's starting to be part of conversation. And it's like, hey, I actually have someone that could be a great fit for your organization. And then your resume is being passed on. And all of this start with, I was just being curious about this. That's all I started with. And so it's just letting yourself going through the motion and letting curiosity lead you. I got very, very lucky for my parents to entertain and never really judge me for my choices early on. I mean, after all, I was only 14 and a half, and actually, I don't want to go in. I don't want to go to school no more. And my parents are just like, okay, so what is it that you want to do? Instead of just saying you're gonna go to school, they just say, what is it that you have in mind? And so they really, really supported me into my journey trying to do this, unbeknownst to them that I would be where I am today. Obviously, they didn't know any of this. They were supportive. They sacrificed time to drive me into school that was not nearby. There's stuff like that that they just gave me opportunities, and it is my time now to thank them and to give it back to them in however way I can. But I like to say that it just starts with you. It's really you walking a path that you're the only one person that can walk. Nobody. And I do describe into my book, I do describe about, we know we sometimes, I think, a little bit too influenced by your inner circle. You're too influenced by your parents or your friends or your close family member that know you better, what's better for you than yourself. And I'm not necessarily always in agreement with that. I think you have to let yourself finding what are you good at. You have to let your opinion influencing you a little bit more than your surrounding. And obviously, you want to. Don't let yourself influence to do something bad or evil. You're just kind of letting yourself influence into, hey, this is the route that I want to take. Can I just check it out and see where it's headed? And then you just kind of go with it. I think sometimes it's good to not necessarily letting yourself influence by everybody and sometimes follow your intuition a little bit more.
Yeah, I do agree. Well, you stated out that was my next question because you are the author of the new book, and it comes out what on October the 18th?
It's just came out today, Pamela. So today,
Oh, hey, I'm the
today,
first
today is
one.
the day.
Hey.
Today is it's launch day today.
Yes, Relentless Growth, Cultivating a Chef's Mindset to Professional Fulfillment.
Yes, indeed.
Beautiful. Tell me a little bit about that book.
So the book is it's 2 years in the making. I started back in December 23 and obviously just released today, so nearly 2 years in the making. And what led me to write this book is I felt that I was ready from a maturity level to articulate a philosophy that has been applying my whole career. And obviously it's not like I had a philosophy and nobody listened to it. People got to relate to it. People got to respond to it. And I like to think that over my career, I was able to create somewhat of a following, loyalty, a lot of loyalty from people that responded well to my leadership. And therefore, they just like followed me in my journey. When I was starting a new opportunity, a new job, I was able to have people that felt good enough under my authority and under my leadership that they say, hey, I would like to continue my journey under you for another year, 2 years, 3 years. And so they're kind of the one that really made me realize that I was onto something. For me, I was just doing what I knew how to do, which was just navigating the world of leadership. I never realized that my lessons, my way of thinking, my approach would resonate beyond my own doing. But I've realized that. So they're the one who made me realize that. And so that gave me the idea of maybe it's time that I'm writing something. It's time that I'm sharing that with people that don't necessarily have access to me by me. If they don't work with me, then they don't have access to my leadership. And so I wanted to write a book in order to share this and putting my book into the right hands, in order to help the student of hospitality, because the problem is systemic. We still have a shortage in industry. We still have an industry that require, it's such a beautiful industry, and we still
It
need
is.
talent. We still need skilled people and passionate
Yes.
people and people that wants to own a craft. And I wanted to do my part, and I wanted to be able to give access to someone to this piece of my philosophy, piece of my brain, piece of my experience, in order for them to maybe kind of navigating their own journey and feel like, man, I'm glad I read that book because it was actually helpful for me to kind of move on in my career. And so that's kind of what I really hope for. So is really putting this book into the right hands in order for someone to feel helped. The other part of the book, if I'm going a little bit more in depth with it, is I really, really wanted to write a book that I wanted to read. It was so important to me. I read a lot of self-help book, and I wanted to make sure that every component that I like about self-help book, I wanted to make sure they are in mine. And anything that I felt like I was lost when I was reading, some books I read, I just like, I don't, I, there's some of them I never finished. I just didn't feel like I connected at the level I wanted to. And I want to make sure that that does not happen in my book. So being a good reader, I think, helped me becoming a good content writer. Now at the end, I don't speak English. I didn't speak English. I didn't write in English. That was my second language, so I didn't know how to write a book in English. So I reached out to a book coach, and she helped me navigating the process of writing it. And every aspect was, sorry, extremely intentional. There was technically three, how do I describe that? Three chronological orders into this book. The first one is the chapters. So your chapter is going to break down to about 10 chapters, and those 10 chapters will be logical steps into your blueprint into reach fulfillment. What I believe is the logical steps. Within
Yes.
those 10 chapters, you're going to have about 3 to 4 sub chapters by, and they're going to also be the logical steps you have to do within that chapter. So there is a cohesive approach to it. If you start with chapter 4, you're going to miss out on the first three and realize that you have not, you don't know what the hell you're doing right now. So you really have to follow those steps. But I didn't want it to make it a guide. I didn't want it to make it a bullet point kind of approach. I wanted it to be natural and organic, like almost like a storytelling. So that was the intention. And the last chronological is who's in order to make the book relatable and not sharing stories that's been shared a million times by everyone with all the most successful entrepreneur of our time, I wanted to share a little bit of realness and humanity by sharing my story and making people realizing while they're reading the book that I'm just a normal person that grew up into a normal family and ended up becoming what I became by just making choices at the time I had choices to make. So that follows that. So you're going to kind of start in the first chapter when I'm just a kid growing up in France, and then just kind of letting curiosity lead the way, and then you kind of leading towards the book and follow my journey with some experiences, and they help me illustrating my points into the chapters. And so you kind of ending the book with getting to the end of my journey and lead me to where I am today in the world of entrepreneurship and the success that made me in hospitality. So you re really a lot of intention into those three different timelines that are intertwined throughout the book.
Beautiful. You know, just having this discussion with you, me and you have a lot in common as well. And I am an award-winning author of the book Journey of a Sapphire.
Okay.
And I have overcame a lot of adversity, challenges, and obstacles. And you are absolutely correct. I never stopped. I just kept going. And I do believe in hard work because everything that we do is hard work, right? To a
Absolutely.
point. However, I come from the corporate world and I was taught time management. And that is my main focus. For time management, I don't care what you create, you can fulfill each project with time management. However, putting work into it. That's called working hard, but not being so exhausted. And that is what my motto is with the girls that come through my foundation as well. Because we go through a lot of challenges and obstacles in life, and we have to take that as a self-help situation and move forward so we can accomplish our dreams and passions. So I thank you for sharing that.
Of course, of course. Thanks. I'm definitely going to put your book on my buying list.
Yes, sir. Please do. So cultivating a mindset can help not only retain employees, as you stated, but also nurture performance and personal fulfillment. Now, I know you have touched bases on this a little bit, but this is something that is really, really needed for the world to understand that how important for hospitality and service. So, can you elaborate a little bit more about that?
Yes, I think cultivating your mindset is it's ever evolving. I think Frank at 25 years old had different aspiration as Frank at 30 and Frank at 40. We all evolve into having different aspiration, different need, different priorities. Especially after you become a family, you're building a family, then now you have marriage priorities, you have kids priorities. So all of those things comes with territory. And I think when I say cultivating your mindset is really not forgetting that one day you're not on your A game is not yet. Doesn't have to stop, and it doesn't have to define who you are as an identity. And maybe if you have 2 days or 3 days, it's okay. It's totally fine. You just need to reprioritize, and maybe you just need a bit more of me time and then refocusing on yourself. And once you do that, you just kind of redeveloping. And when I say cultivating, the word cultivating was important for me to do a kind of an interesting word to choose for this subtitle, but it was almost like it's almost like a garden, or like you have to cultivate throughout all the seasons of all the year. And it's not because you just decide to say, oh wow, it looks beautiful, I'm going to stop touching it and I'm just going to harvest now. And then you realize 2 weeks later, because you didn't do anything for 2 weeks, then you just don't really get the best out of what you had. So cultivating your mindset, it's almost daily. It's almost daily. You wake up in the morning and you realize it's okay. This is what I have to do from a work side of things. This is what I have to do from a responsibility as a parent. This is what I want to do in order to do my day. And this is what I need. This is what I want. And you just kind of navigating, prioritize your day and realize it's like, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. And then you just let yourself continuously trying to grow and finding out what are the things. And I have a 4.5 year old and a 1.5 year old, 2 daughters, and I am not an experienced father. I am not. And so looking into all this, I realized that I need to continue to cultivate my mindset to become the best father I can be, because those girls not going to grow themselves. They need guidance. They need directions. They need to learn the fundamentals of life and the principles of life. And in order to do that, they need to have a present father. Regardless, they don't care that I'm about to fly out for a week in order to sign a big contract. They don't have to care. They all they want is understanding that when daddy is present, daddy's here, daddy's present. And that's those things are what I call cultivating that mindset. Is really every day it's almost a do-over in order to prioritize where you need to be, what you need to do based on your needs, based on your surround needs, and also based on your responsibility.
I do agree. You stated that often silence discussion around burnout, stress, and emotional fatigue in the hospitality industry and how to manage it constructively. That's a good point. Can you elaborate a little bit about
Yeah,
that?
of course. I mean, hospitality, burnout, and exhaustion, I think it's not a news. It's been there. I think as an industry, we're failing to recognize that it's still happening. I think we are, yeah, sure, we're gonna have some organization that's gonna they're gonna put some system, processes, calls, resources in order for you to get helped. But it's still up to you to get the help. And I think it's I think we kind of half-ass it. I think instead of just caring a little bit more about someone's well-being to the point of making them realize they need the help, I think that's where it needs to be. Just making it available doesn't fix the problem. It just checks the box for you as an organization. I've done my my job, but it just sounds so transactional that it almost pissed me off. It's just something that I just can't understand. And so I succeeded in my career because after a 12-hour shift, a 14-hour shift, I noticed one of my cook was not feeling so well that I took an entire hour to listen to what he needed in order for me to sh for him to show up the next day, or for him to give him time off because he needed time off. And those hour that I invested without nothing necessarily in return, ended up kind of creating an environment when you care about the next person and you care about people. Everyone has problems that you have no idea they have. Everyone. And it is your job as their boss to work for them. And if right now you're in the biggest weekend of the year because you have three weddings and then you have two full restaurants and you're in high season, and one of your cooks is just showing up because he's loyal to a fault to you, to your cause and to what you to do, but realize that it's just not there mentally and emotionally, it is your job to remove him for his own sake and saying, okay, you need to go home and take care of yourself. And you say, well, what about the team? Let me worry about the team. I need you to worry about you. Okay. And I need you to take the next step. And I say, I'm going to give you the rest of the weekend off. And you're going to take 2 extra days off Monday, Tuesday, and you come back fresh on Wednesday. I'll be checking on you. And then you kind of done the first step of really caring for someone that really was facing burnout and exhaustion. And it doesn't not necessarily has to do with work. It may be the pressure is receiving from outside of work, the family life, whatever the case is, or just not being able to see ends meet financially and finding out what is it that he needs. And if you are in a position, I've probably done some, I don't know if it's ethical or unethical, but I've probably done sometimes when I probably went human to human. You need help, I'm going to help you. You know what I mean? I'm going to help you. You have an issue with financial. Let me fill up let me fill up your gas tank. And I'm just going to get you so you can get wherever you need to be, at least for the next 5 to 6 days. Those kind of thing is, and I don't necessarily like to talk about those things because I don't do them for that reason. It's just more about in this moment, it's me from the human person that has gone through issues, adversities in his life that you need. If I have the ability to help someone, I will help that someone. And if that someone shows up every day and work in my team in order to make me look good, in order to serve those guests, then I like to think I have a moral duty to help them to the best of my ability. And so that's kind of where it's coming from for me. It's really doing that next step. And then once they're on their days off, the next day, you're just sending a text and you just say, hey, hope you're doing well, man. Just let me know if you need anything else. And then the following day you check, hey, just checking in. How are you doing today? And you just check in every day. I'm just his boss. And some people would say, well, I'm drawing the line here. I'm just his boss. I need to make boundaries. And he's like, yes, you do to put boundaries, but those are not good boundaries. They're not good boundaries. And you will not tell me otherwise. It's just you care for human, a human, a human, human to human. And that Wednesday, when that guy shows up, refreshed, handled,
Ready.
and he was able to not having to stress because he could not come to work with the bus because now we fill up his gas tank. All of those things compounded into a person that shows up to work and is grateful, thankful, appreciative, ready to work. And then you have now built a rapport with that person, and that will go untouched for a long time. And that's where it starts. It's really, I think it's just about genuine care. And I don't care what people say when hospitality is about you take care of your guest. And say, for me, you take care of your employee. The employee will take care of your
Absolutely.
guest. The employees will take care of your guests. That's what you hire them for. Take care of your employee, take care of your guests, obviously, but your employees are the biggest, the human capital is the biggest
Asset.
asset of hospitality. And I think as an industry, we tend to forget that. I've worked and seen, and now I'm affiliated with a lot of big name brands in the industry. And, of course, nobody's gonna never put an ad saying, "Hey, come work for you. Come work for us. We don't give a shit about you." Nobody's never gonna claim that. Everyone's gonna say, "We have benefits. We're providing you a $100 room night as a friend's family. We're giving you 5 weeks PTO." Those are almost expected out of your work environment. But now is, what is the culture of your organization? What is it? You
What
know what I
is
mean?
it?
I'm going to work for you, but what am I getting in return? A paycheck is not enough anymore. We're in 2026. Not enough anymore.
Do agree. I mean,
I've got very passionate about this, so.
yes, when you speak about hospitality, I mean, I see myself in you. We're serious about that. It is so important. And you know, my company alone is 65 Max Corporation, and we have two other entities. However, I can do any job within my company. And I've been put in situations where, you know, someone couldn't show up or something happened and I was able to jump in and I felt good. And I felt good. And I was still able to, you know, assist and help that person as well. And when other employees see that, they're like amazed because really a lot of managers, CEOs, they lack that and they don't understand. You have to care about your employees or the people who are working for you. Because really, yes, we put the master plan together and the blueprint, but they are help to making us who we are. I thank you for really explaining that, because that is really, really great points that you have. You stated that any CEO in the industry can learn from life in a high performance kitchen. Tell me that. Tell me about that.
I believe it is. I think obviously it is. I'm looking at it as far as the skills that you have to learn and the challenges that you have to go through in the world of culinary. They are not any different than what a startup CEO or anyone that would start this company would have to go through. So we're not necessarily too much far apart. You go through chaos. You go in through depending on your team to make or break the entire service. You go into having to increase and improve your communication. You have to be able to coach. You have to be able to mentor. You have people of all level of skills, and you have people from all level of generation. You have people that's been in industry for 25 years. You have one that just came out 5 minutes ago. You really have a lot of everything into a kitchen, and you're being asked, especially in the world of luxury resort and hotels, and the world of Michelin star rated restaurant, when the unique goal is to thrive for excellence. You got to be the best. You thrive for the best. You got to be the best. Mistake is failure is not an option. You just have to seek out the best of the best of the best. In order to do that, you have to have everyone to understand that. In order to do that, it comes from you. Are you walking the talk, or are you just playing the part? It's important that you walk the talk, that whatever you're saying, you were mentioning about your company, you can do any jobs. That's where it starts. A good chef is capable of working in the saute station, in the grill station. At the same time, he can expo. And guess what? The dishwasher called out. The chef's going to be, "Okay, let me just jump on the dish pit for a minute and trying to bang this out and getting everything out for you guys so you can continue your job." So all of those things are necessary. And I think the bigger the corporation, the more the CEO has forgotten some of those roots. And it's important that, and they don't necessarily have to remember them in a way that I don't expect a CEO of a big corporation or big hospitality industry to calm down and starting to walk in the kitchen and starting to play
Right.
dishes. But I would love for them to not forget what it was and acknowledging what it takes to get there. And I
Absolutely.
think it's important that those CEOs don't look at everyone from below, like they're just not looking from above. I mean, I just wish they were not like this too much, and that they're starting to be a bit more approachable, and they are, respectful and acknowledging of the work that it takes to make him look good as the CEO.
Yes. Well stated. Thank you. You stated that leaders must rethink the traditional expectations of the workforce and adapt quickly to meet the needs of the generations shaping our future, who are looking for more than just career advancement and are seeking purpose, growth, and fulfillment. Tell me about that.
Yes, we are right now managing kids that are 16, 17, 18, so definitely a different generation. You see some way they're behaving. They're obviously living in a world of access to social media a lot more than I used to, obviously. They're seeing and they bring projected a ton of image of what is success, quote unquote. And so they're being fed with those images of success and they're aspired to be there, not necessarily looking and seeing what it actually takes in order to get there. They only see the tip of the iceberg. They don't necessarily see everything under. Now, so you take this generation that have a feeling of, and I don't want to use the word because it's the wrong word being thrown out there, entitlement. I think there's a huge misunderstanding. I think the younger generation has found ways to live life and to make money without necessarily have to work so hard. Okay? They find
Yes.
ways. And again, we take accountability. We created that world. Okay. Now we're taking these young kids that are coming into this world of hospitality when you still have to pay your dues. You still have to work hard because hospitality is still work. It's almost an
Yes.
antiquated job that has not really evolved and changed over the years from a demand of a person perspective. And so you're taking those young kids. Like we're living now in an area where I would have never quit a job without something lined up. Ever in my mind, that would have never crossed my mind. I would be so uncomfortable quitting my job and say, okay, what are you going to do next? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. When they're not necessarily feeling valued, or they're not feeling they're making an impact, or they're not feeling they're being mentored and coached, or they're not getting paid enough, then they just quit. They just quit. And it's like, okay, well, what are you going to do next? And I say, I don't know. I might take just like 3, 4 weeks of time off and figure it out. And with no care in the world of the world of work and the, and I realize like I almost commend them to have that level of ignorance and innocence into those needs because we've created a need of, I need to work. I need to work. I need to work. I need to contribute. And I need to do this. When for them, they just actually, pretty much, it's probably the generation that understood the word work-life balance the most out of all the generation before us. And so I commend them for that. So in order to do that is I'm really trying to find out because we still have a systemic issue. We still need talent in hospitality, as I was mentioning before. And so how do you create an environment when they feel valued, when they feel like they're growing, when they feel like they have a purpose? And in order to do that is they need a lot more mentorship and coaching, which is to this day still not existing as much as we would want to. You have a generation of, I would say the millennials. After that, there was the Gen Z, Gen Z,
Please,
the Gen Z. And so you have these leaders that come here that started working. They are amazing individual performers. They're just the employee of the quarters. And then suddenly you say, oh wow, you're working so well. I actually need help. I'm going to promote you. And then you promote these kids. that while they're amazing individual performers, they have no clue what being a leader is, and you just throw them in the wolf,
Absolutely.
expecting for them to manage a team of their peers. And then there's resistance, there's mistakes, and then you also tell them and say, oh wow, you're making good money when you were a server, but now you're a manager, you're making less money, and I'm making you work to work 10 to 15 hours a day when before you were working six.
Right.
So they have to believe that the passage you have to take to become a director or to become a C-suite or an executive level goes through this path. And in order to do that, we have to make it more attractive. Because now you're having leaders, you're surrounded with leaders that are not problem solving. You're surrounded with leaders that are not necessarily capable of handling a situation when
Sure.
it goes to chaos. And you find your directors, instead of directing, they are just filling the gaps left and right. And so now you're creating this entire workplace where there is gaps in every level. And but
Oh,
you still have the same demand from the stakeholder and the corporation about providing results, which, by the way, their result and what they care the most, which again, it's needed, but it shouldn't be the only data and the only thing we look at, which is the GSI, the guest service score, and which is the how the guest enjoys his stay. It's like, sure,
yes.
it is a valid, but it shouldn't be the drive. The drive should just not be this. You should
Yes.
be able to realize it's like, why are you opening a new hotel next month when the last three you open are still struggling today to find staff? Like, why?
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's like, why are
Yeah.
we doing this?
Yeah. Yes.
And I think it's the attraction of the expansion is trying to scale up. It's obviously, I am myself an entrepreneur, and when I have opportunity like this, of course, it's shiny, it's new, you're being asked to do wonderful things, and you realize it's like, well, can I stretch myself so thin that now my daughters are going to be sacrificed in order for me to do this project? And nobody really take the time to look into those things and just say, you know what? The timing's not right. I can work for you in about 6 months from now. Once this project and this project are completed, I'm happy to stay in the conversation. Now, if you want to wait 6 months, I'll be available. If you don't want to wait 6 months, then maybe it's not meant for me to be part of this. And we have to have that consciousness to have those conversation. And right now, I think hotels and resorts are growing way too fast, way too quick. And they have not the right structure, and
Yes.
they're just pulling from all their existing properties, which they already short, but in order to help them make this new thing successful, now they're gonna just trip everybody else in order to make this new one successful. And all your staff now is pissed off everywhere. All your favorite retailers, Millions the Book, Barnes and Nobles, Target, Amazon, you can buy on paperback, hardcover, ebook. I will be going in November to record in studio the audible version for people that just prefer to drive and listen. So that will be available in December. Otherwise, if you want to get in touch with me, there's three ways. My website, which is cheffranc.com, Franc CK. And otherwise, you can find me. I have a very strong social media presence on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So that would be the way you can find me.
Beautiful. Well, readers, I have reached my destination and I will leave you with this quote of today. Standards are not the goals. They are who we are before the first ticket drops, after the last guest leaves. You heard him, Chef Frank Depletion. Until next time, please do have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.